I don't want to stand up over there. It's not, I'm not giving a lecture, a shiur, or anything. I want to be. To be together with Amcha Beis Yisrael. I want to thank Rabbi Yanki. He's the mysterious tzaddik that doesn't want to make himself known. I just did that. And I want to thank Shlomi and the rest of the Chaveirim, the Rav of the Shul. Come out Erev Yom HaKadosh. I want to talk to you a little bit about why you're here. I have such a strong heritage. And that's why I'm not giving a shiur. I just want to speak a little bit. Sichas Chaverim, I hope that's okay. Some of you I know. Sichas Chaverim. You know, there are times that you could put on a certain introduction. They say a story that was once a terrible, terrible chamsin in Eretz Yisrael. Have you ever been in a chamsin? It's kefilach hat. And it happened that the Ben-Gurion was working together with Ben-Yehuda in this chamsin. And you know that neither of them were shalom mitzvahs by long shot. Ben Yehuda was the one who created modern Hebrew. And Ben Yehuda hated the use of Yiddish. He hated Yiddish, even though that was his lashon, Mamon lashon. He hated Yiddish. Because his whole thing was Hebrew. So him and Ben Gurion walking in this chamsin. And Ben Gurion starts to talk to Ben Yehuda in Yiddish. And Ben Yehuda says, Ech kvodo, mishtamesh v'lashona. How do you use such a lot, a lashon, an old lashon, a yashan? How do you use that? So Ben Gurion said, Elijah took me to the Torah, this is Suha Yistach Kemesh. He said, you know what, it's too hot, I can't put on a shon now. He says, look, we're both two boys from... So it's Erev Yom HaKadosh, it's Suha Yistach Kemesh, you understand? I want to talk to you just a little bit, very simple, very plain. Omer Bekiva, Shech Mi Yisrael, Lef Mi Miyad, Metah, Mi Metah, Vesna. Avichem Shev Shemayim, Vom Mikvi Yisrael Hashem. Vom Mikvi Yisrael Hashem. It's the Heilige Visioner. I'm sure some of you know that it was once, but the Mikudim, and Sifas Torah, the Heilige Visioner was dancing in a strange way. He was bending down and standing up and bending down very low and standing up very high. And they never saw such a rikud. And he was on fire. And Chassidim afterwards asked the vision of what that rikud was. And he said he had machshava and he was dancing with everybody. He says, Mikvi Yisrael Hashem. The Rebbe Shlomo has a mikveh. And the name of the Rebbe Shlomo's mikveh is Yisrael. And I wanted the title of the Rebbe Shlomo's mikveh. I was among Jews. And I wanted that title. I felt such a pureness being amongst you. Because it's only when we're together we can come to such a thing. The Rebbe Shlomo's mikveh is called Yisrael. When we're with each other, we baptized together in this Kiddusha, preparing for Yom HaKadosh. So let me tell you a story about a mikveh. That's how we'll begin. This is really why you're here tonight. I tell this story every year at this time. I heard this from a Yid who was there. In Lodz, at the time of the Muhammad, there was a terrible ghetto. And one of the things that the Germans in Achshimam did, one of the laws, was that all of the mikvahs of Lodz had to be closed. You understand that the other side, the Sitcha Achra, is afraid of Kedushas Yisrael. All the mikvahs were cemented closed. No way into any mikvah in Lodz. When there was a curfew, any Jew that's outside past the curfew was shot. And there was a tzaddik that was hiding over there, that was in one of the places, in the basement someplace. The Radish of Rabbi Susiyoni, he was killed in the Muhammad. This tzaddik was there with a few other Jews. And all of a sudden, there was, like tonight, it was Erev Yom HaKadosh. And all of a sudden, there was a pounding on the door and they got scared. The person outside was screamed out, Amcha, Amcha. And they let him in. And it was a bacher. And the bacher said, Rabbi, have good news. And there was a good news. You know, everybody's family was ready. These were people that weren't yet taken away. Somebody had already been taken away. He said, good news. What's the good news? The good news is there's a mikveh. A mikveh? There's a mikveh to title for Yom Kippur. You know, this bacher explained that when everything is closed, the Jew has to think of an etzah. So there were Jews that thought of an etzah. All the mikvahs were cemented shut, the windows, the doors, everything was closed. But there were a few people who went into the basement of the building adjacent to one of the mikvahs. They crawled down to this basement, all the way down, and with knives, and with forks, and with their nails, they carved out a hole in the wall. And that wall was the wall that went into the mikveh. And no one's allowed to know about this. I was sent only to tell some of the rebbes and the shashidas, the rabbanim of the kiyah. Obviously, it's after curfew, and it's at the risk of one's life to go. And I'm here, if the rebbe wants, to bring the rebbe to this mikveh. So it was that shayla. So the Lodz ghetto, Mamish, that night, Erev Yom HaKadosh, his tzaddik went crawling around, because there were Germans with lights and things all over, and he went crawling around. So he came to this building that was next door to the mikveh. And he was there together with this bacher. The bacher survived the war and told over the mice. And he's there with this bacher. And they start to go to the stairs going down to the basement, and they have a candle. And the Rebbe said that, and the Rebbe saw, they came down the stairs. There were hundreds of Jews lined up, waiting to use this mikveh. Because by eating a secret is something you tell one person at a time. So it turned out that the news got out, that even before there was such a thing as texting and all of that, the news got out. And there were hundreds of Yidden waiting to get into this mikveh. There was a small hole in this thick concrete wall. There was a Yid on the bottom. He got on this guy's shoulders or something, and depending on how big the guy was, he would push. There was another guy on the other side that would help him get down. Schnell, 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 in the mikveh. Quickly get him dressed in the mikveh fast. In, out, in, out, in, out. All night long. And the Radishita said to this bacher, they were walking down, they saw all these candles and all these Jews waiting at the risk of their lives to get into the mikveh. He said, these are Jews' parents are dead, wives, children, taken away in transports, finished their lives. Nothing is left of them. And all they could think of the night of Yom HaKadosh, before Erev Yom Kippur, is to try to figure out somehow, some way, to enter into a better way, to go into a mitzvah. Like Aki said, that's what we're thinking about. All of us are thinking about. What are you doing here tonight? It's very late, and tomorrow's so very close to Yom Tov, and some of you still have to go, you're going to work, and you know, so many things with the children, and you have so many responsibilities, you're all hard-working, good jobs. Is you're thinking somehow, some way, up as a nigin of art, something. Somehow I could find my way into that mikveh in the basement and lodge. Lifnei miyat metar, mi metar esmer, vichit shushumai vore mikveh yisrael Hashem. So it's a schus for me to be here right now to toivel together with you. And the mikveh that Hashem's Baruch has is called mikveh yisrael Hashem. So how can we find a little bit of an opening? A little bit of an opening. So listen carefully. Really, I need a few hours to say what I'm going to say. Now I'm going to try to say it in a few minutes. But try to listen in a way of pnimius. Ve'al kulon l'kas lichayis slach lon l'machal lon l'kapim lon shlichim l'chil l'kapar ve'al kulon l'kas lichayis. Now the Malam says in a few places in Yeshayah and in Kippidl Kuflamid and Tilim Kimcha Haslicha v'man tivar, the Malam says that the emes is that a human being is incapable of forgiving completely, completely. If somebody hurts you, a human being can't really forget that completely. You try. It could be 20, 30, 40 years later, something can trigger it. But something remains. But the Baruch Shalom is Kimcha Aslicha. Only the Baruch Shalom Mamish Mamish can forgive. So we call the Baruch Shalom Yom Kippur Alka Aslichas. Slachlon, Chalon, Kapelon. Slich, Mechilik, Apar, the whole Yom Kippur. Really, all of Elul, and all of Slichis, and Shoshana, and Sesame Chuba, is to come to these Nakudas, these words, that we're asking Slachlon, Chalon, Kapelon. The Banshon, for Atanach, describes his relationship with us by using relationships that we're familiar with in life. Two of these relationships we're very familiar with, one not so much these days. The first relationship is a parent and a child. A parent and a child. One of my children, Baruch Shalom is our father. The relationship between a parent and a child, a father and a son, mother, father, a daughter, son, the relationship is very, very, very complicated. What is the greatest chait, the greatest sin that one can commit against a parent? I'm not talking about stealing or killing chilim, I'm talking about. I'm talking about a nice son. Good children. What's the greatest chet? The greatest chet that one commits against a parent is neglect. It's forgetting a parent. It's the greatest chet that one can commit against a parent. To forget one's parents. Nishani Elkim. I've forgotten my father's house. You see, it's the nature of a child, each and every one of us, from the beginning of time. Each one of us, As we were growing up, we desperately want to become our own people. A child craves independence, anything to be different, anything to be different than my parents. Especially in the sugya of a father and a son, anything to be different, to be my own person. The Maharal variety and gracious, the Beis Yankiv, Nishvitz and gracious, Rav Kook and Ezra Tshuva, and the Tzaddikim speak about the chet of Adam and Chava taking the fruit from the tree. What was the chet? To take a fruit from the tree. The tree is the cause. The fruit is the end result. The fruit sees itself as being the tachlis of the tree. The fruit looks at the tree and says to the tree, you should know that you only exist for me. The only reason that you exist is so that I should come into the world. Now that I'm already in the world, of course I'll come by, I'll visit every now and then, I'll call you up, I'll do you a favor, I'll use you the Shabbos and whatever. But of course the whole tachlis of existence is me. The Tzaddikim explain that the tearing of the fruit from the tree is a chet that repeats itself over and over and over. When a child begins to forget his parents, he turns away from his parents. Listen, I'm telling you something personal. My parents, I was inside. I just saw them a few hours ago. My father was not well. He said before, Mordechai Yosef and Lima Sarah. He's a 96-year-old survivor of Matel's, and he heard of that place. My mother's a 90-year-old survivor of a place called Auschwitz. And when I was leaving on this morning, I told him that I had to go to Great Neck to speak and Great Neck to teach in Great Neck. I told my parents I have to go. My father could barely talk. And my mother walked with me to the door and she said to me, after stooping me with some cake and a banana and a bottle of juice, which I have in my car, if you need anything, you can come. My mother says to me, Moshe, why are you going so quick? Why you just got here, Moshe? I said, Ma, and I told you, I gotta go. I'd love to stay, but I gotta go. She says, was half a minute or 10 minutes. I said, Ma, you don't have to be there in Great Neck here for hours. It takes 40 minutes to get there, I gotta go. So she gave me that look, that same look that I remember ever since I was in this world. And I know that I've told her thousands of times I gotta go in there. I do, but a lot of times I don't, you know what I mean? I don't know if you've ever been in that situation. Don't raise your hand. I mean, there's other stuff I want to do, you know? Places I have to go, people I want to see. I have a life, you know? I'm sitting there telling the same story as my parents for the thousandth time, talking, listening. I adore them, I love them, but... You know. So at some point when we're growing up, the kid begins to see himself as the center of the universe, the fruit. What about the tree? Shkara. Thank you for having me. Thank you for taking care of me. Shkara. Where's the car keys? Where's the credit card? Shkara. The worst thing for a parent is to feel neglected and forgotten. I beg my children to call your grandparents. Call them. Please, please call them. Yeah, we'll call them. Stop by and visit them. I say, I never had grandparents. Are there other Jews here who have had grandparents? There must be some. I never had grandparents. I said, you have grandparents. So they'll do me a tayve, you know. Even though they love their grandparents. They have their own lives. So the Baruch Shalom says, whatever happened to you? You became a big knacker, you're busy with work, you're busy with all kinds of chashuva things. And at some point, you began to neglect me. That's what it means for Ram Levon Chavashachachta. The Baruch Shalom said, I know that your hearts are going to become proud, you'll be filled with gaiva, and you're going to think that you were the ones you created yourselves. And you're going to forget me. Therefore, when it comes to you, my Kaddish, you say, En wie David zei, slaag gewoon naar binnen, die gaat dan. Slaag gewoon naar binnen. Anbanagel, vaata winnen. Wie zei, waar is mijn taat in hem? I'm so embarrassed that I ran out of shul. That I woke at the shul with a cup of coffee. And here for 40 minutes, I can't put my coffee down somewhere. I have to come up with a cup of coffee to sit in davening to take a sip. I can't manage 40 minutes. I come to shul 10 minutes late. I leave 10 minutes early, and the whole thing is a few minutes. Shabbos, when we come, when we leave. My daven bechlal, what is it? Slaag gewoon naar binnen, die gaat dan. Abi Yakar, I'm so sorry. At some point I began to forget you. Of course, I come by, I stop by. Everybody here stopped by this morning. Chamar, I stopped by. But I've forgotten you. I've forgotten you. And I want to come to you on Yom HaKadosh and ask you to forgive me. Slach lam kis ki imcha aslicha. Because you only are capable of absolute forgiveness. Who else but a father and mother can forgive them? The things that parents forgive their children for. I'm dealing with these sugyas for 40 years with parents and children. I see a child that can't forgive a parent for a kleinigkeit mamash. And a parent can be trampled upon, spat upon, abused and misused and taken for granted. Nachamu, nachamu, nachamu. And the second the kid wants to come home, it's welcome to mamash. Parents are waiting. There's a Torah from Rabbi Laigis Husi Elenu. That the Indian of lighting the Hanukkah lit by the door is that Yaakov Avinu would go out in the night, every night, looking and waiting. Maybe Yosef HaTzadik is going to come home. That's the Indian of lighting the Hanukkah candle. So my child should see. He should be able to find his way home. The Indian of Elul Bifrat, the time of Elul Bifrat, is a time of that feeling of Ki Avi V'Imi Azavuni V'Hashemi Asveini. The fast is crying for her mother and father for a month. Zarakot says, is the month of Elul. It's the crying of a Jew that I miss my parents. I miss the Kutchevich, my father and my mother. I miss a Kutchevich. I miss that feeling what it was like being under my father's talents. I miss that feeling of being home. And I've neglected my parents and I've forgotten them. And I'm sorry, Bosha, I'm sorry. I'm coming home and I'm asking you for forgiveness. The second relationship is one that we're not so familiar with because we don't live in that world anymore. But we all know that most of the Rishonim, many of the Rishonim of Chazal begin with the Melech, the king, his son, the king, and his servant. Avinu Malkeinu, our father, our king. What's the greatest chet, the greatest aver that one can commit against his master, against his king? The king is not interested in you calling him every night. He doesn't particularly care that you remember him all the time, you think of him, that's not his Indian. Mechever, what's the chet against the melech? The chet against the melech is disobedience. To be married by Malchus. Why? Because the king, especially a wonderful, great, wise, benevolent king, he has a big thing that he wants to do in the world. He wants to change something. He wants to make something big in the world. He feels he can make a difference, the king. But he needs his chevra, he needs his oilam. He needs his people, the king. The worst thing that an eved can do, or a soldier, the worst thing that a soldier we can relate to more, the worst thing that a soldier ever can do, are you still with me? Yeah? You alright? The worst thing that a soldier that an ever can do is to be disobedient. Being disobedient means you were given a tafkid in the Malchus, Because you have certain skills, you have certain talents, you're good at something. And because of that, you were given by the Malach, you were assigned a certain tafkid, a job in the army, in the Malachus, you were given a certain chelik in the Malucha to work, to serve. But instead, you became caught up in your shtus, in your katnas, in your kleinikai, in your silly small things. You became caught up in the small things in this world. There's so many silly small things. And as a result of that, you forgot the whole tachlis that Yeshua was sent to this world. Because Nesav, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yisrael, Yadiyah, Zbach, the Yom Yisrael time, the Baruch Hu wants to be in this world. And the Baruch Hu created Nishmas Yisrael. And he sent us into this world that we should be able to make this world a place for Kiviyachal, for the Shekhinah. And each one of us has a tafkid in the malchus. Each one of us has certain kaiches and talents. Every single Jew, from the biggest of the littlest, every Jew has a tafkid in Hashem's boss malchus. And the Baruch Hashem has revealed to us, has installed to us, by the tzaddikim, the chayzes, the Rabbi Ibn Pshischa, the tzaddik, the Rabbi, all tzaddikim tell us that kiviyachal, the Baruch Hashem's malchus can't be complete if one of us is not doing our job. For us forgets, and we make ourselves the center. And we forget that there was something bigger that we put into this world to accomplish. Something bigger. So we say, and we keep it, and every day, we say, Mechal lon makeinu ki basham. Mechal lon makeinu ki basham. What does it mean, Mechila? How do they translate Mechila in English to learn?
Pardon.
To pardon? I say, that's pretty good. What does Mechila mean? Mechila is a term that's in Halacha, of course. Mechila very simply means that Reuven owes money to Shimon, and Shimon's a good guy, and Reuven's fallen to hard times, so Shimon says, Amarcha. Mechila means you owe me something. There's a chayf. You owe me something. There's something that you haven't taken care of. There's something that you're responsible for that you've ignored. Mechila means that the person whose Meichel says, you know what, even though there's a chayif, I'll give you another chance. I'm tearing up Kol Shitrei Chaveseinu, I'm tearing these up, and I'm giving you a chance to start again, to get to work. You know, nowadays, Chavre, the hardest thing for men, Are there any women here? It's only for guys. Six division ones, okay. The hardest thing for men is to take responsibility. You ever go into a shtiebel or into a shul where half the guys who are there for mincha are standing in the Ezra's Nosh? You ever see such a thing? What is that about? Or I've been giving shiurim for so many years. So let's say I have a mechitza over here, and I have the men over here, the women over there. Every woman comes in, she goes right to the front with a notebook. You know what I'm talking about? And like three different pens in case they run out. Every woman, every guy goes up to the back seat, by a door, by a window. Remember years ago, I was in Bungalow County, and I was complaining about a friend of mine told me that he lives here in Flatbush. He told me that he davened Yom Kippur. There was a minyan where they started at 8:30 and they were finished by davening a quarter to 12. And I was saying this, that I was heartbroken over such a thing. How could it be on Yom Kippur such a davening? And I was saying this, and the women were here, and the men were there. The women were all going like this. And the men were all going, where is the And you know it's not exaggerated, I'm telling you the truth. Men who are responsible, take responsibility of lives, the worst thing that happens to have all these men on 9 o'clock, 9:30, 10 o'clock, 10:30, it's the worst thing that ever happened to us. I know it sounds like it's sacrilegious when I'm saying it, because every neighbor prides itself on having these kind of minyan. They call these minyan factories. There should be 1 minute. It should be at 6:30 in the morning. You get up and out of bed. I was raised in a house that on a Sunday morning, when it was already 5:45, my father would be banging the door. Yeah, I'm already that block. I'll call some kind of reason. So my father woke me up. And I said, oh my goodness. All my friends sleeping till 9 o'clock and have a mazel. Yeah, I'm worried. My father says, what are you sleeping there? He says, I need you, a Jew. It's already 5:45 in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. He said, Daddy, it's Sunday, it's 1:30. And my mother's calling out the Hungarian to leave him alone. My father says, don't leave him alone. What's he lying there like that, Vishika? Of course, I was at the movies until the double feature until 2 o'clock in his den, and I with the guys, and we had to eat something. It was 5:45 in the morning, we lined it like that. My balachrai is take responsibility and show up every day in shul 15 minutes early. My father, till 2 months ago, he couldn't walk anymore, and even then he was going with a walker, and then with a wheelchair, it's the first one in shul every morning. All the young guys come walking in with their coffees and their cell phones. Couldn't make it on time. And I can't stay for the whole minyan. Christ, you put into this world for a purpose. For God's sake, Eilam Kodesh. Talk me straight. See, Christ, no? It's too hard to play games. So we say, Rabbi Shlomo, Ono Avadelcha Va'ata Malkein, Va'ata Adenein. What's the meaning of Rosh Hashanah? Hamelech. Rosh Hashanah means, Rabbi Shlom, I'm here to re-enlist. I want to be part of Malchus. But you know something, Rabbi Shlom, I got to tell you, it's very hard to be in your Malchus because you're so hidden. Like in the Sipur Maisis, Rabbi Nachman, where the Chacham didn't believe in the king, and he was asking the soldiers, did you ever see the king? And the soldiers said, no, we never met him. But he said, no, nobody ever saw him. There is no king. You know the story from Chacham the Talmud. There is no king. And there's a king. The king has given each and every one of us something to do in this world, something big. Each one of us to do. Big doesn't have to be that you make some kind of a whole big organization. In your life, something big. So we say, Rabbi Shalom, we're asking for Mechid. Mechid means there are chayvis, there are starry chayvis. Rabbi Shalom, so many chayvis. I didn't take care of it. I owed you a shachas and mincha. I owed you this mitzvah. I owed you this black gemara. I owed you this kind word that I didn't give to that Jew who needed it so badly. There's so many things that I owe you. I owe you everything. And we're asking for Mechid. That's the Inyan Rosh Hashanah. The Iker Rosh Hashanah Amen. Amen. But the most complicated relationship of all is the one that comes with Bechira Chavshis. The relationship of Chasam Kalev, husband and wife, the whole Shir Shir, the union of a husband and wife, that sugya of marriage, what's the greatest sin, the greatest chet that one can commit against his wife? It's important to guys. Women also do this, but the greatest sin. What hurts a woman the most? What hurts a woman? It's not the disobedience. It's not even the thing of forgetting like with a parent. What hurts a wife the most? When she's not appreciated, when she doesn't feel appreciated, it hurts her so badly. It's a famous maaseh from the Rabbi Moshe of Sasva, Susi Lane. The Rabbi Moshe of Sasva said that, you know where I learned the Havas Yisrael from? I learned it from two peasants in a bar, two Russian goyim in a bar. It was freezing cold and he was going for Pidyon Shvuim, he used to do a lot. Rabbi Moshe of Sasva, and he was there with the Shamans. And they were freezing, they put the horses outside, and they came in to crash into an inn. And Rabbi Shlom Sasser said, there were two Russian peasants there, they know how to drink, these guys, you know? There were two Russians sitting there, they're drinking vodka, one of us after the other. And it's Ivan and it's Igor, there's stereotypes, but two names, whatever the names were. And one says to the other, Ivan asks Igor, tell me, Igor, do you love me? So Igor says to Ivan, do you mean? We're best friends, we grew up together, you're my best friend, of course. To have a glass of vodka, make a l'chaim. And they drink, and then he asks him again, but really, do you really love me? He said, I told you. I love you. You're my heart. You're my best friend. We grew up together. We're always together. And I drink again. And he asks this another time. And finally, the other guy says to him, Ivan, why do you ask me this? I told you already that you're my best friend. I love you. So he said, no, you don't really love me. He said, why are you saying that? So he said, because if you really, really loved me, then you would know what's hurting me right now. You don't have any idea what's hurting me at this moment. You don't know what's hurting me. And Moshe Sasa said that from that bar, from those two peasants, I learned what does it mean to love another person? What does it mean to love another Jew? To love another Jew means lizdahot. Lizdahot means to identify, to become man mishpacha. But you know that a ha is the gematria of echa. It means to become man mishmor. The worst feeling for a woman, for a wife. There was an old song actually when I was a kid that was sung by two Jewish boys. And there was a sentence in that song that meant, I know a woman who became a wife. Those are the very words she used to describe her life. Listen to the words. I know a woman who became a wife. Those are the very words she used to describe her life. Because when we were married, when we were under the chuppah, I believe that this wasn't just going to be about carpool and about cooking and about chores and about little, you know, cards here and there and some flowers. I really believe that there was going to be something like mamish, you know, from a fairy tale. That's what I believed. And I believe that every moment of my life that you and I would be in it together. But what happens so often between husbands and wives is that over time, they begin to grow apart. I'm talking about a nice couple. These are not, I'm not talking about, God forbid, someone's unfaithful, no infidelity, not chalil. Sometimes in the office, please forgive me for talking in the Bessa Medrash, forgive me. Sometimes in the office, there's an attractive little girl walking by, a little girl, I mean, over the age of 18, walking by. And he doesn't look at the picture that he has of his wife on the table at that moment. And sometimes at night, when no one's watching him someplace, and he's got his phone, and he's finished all of his emails and all the other stuff that he's busy with. Sometimes, there are other things that a person looks at. Hashem Yachem. And I'm dealing with these things all the time. There isn't a week that goes by that I don't have at least one or two situations from all over, from Meir Sharon, all the way to the five towns and everything in between. The wife will find something. And the husband swears, no, I love you, just that you don't understand that a man has a taiva, yitzhar. She doesn't understand. I spend so many hours a week trying to beg these women not to drag the husband to bezdin to give him a chance. But her taina is that if he really, really loved me, he couldn't look at that stuff. And he said, no, men are sick, they look at these things anyway. He does love you, but the essence is, there's something wrong. There's something deeply, deeply wrong. There's another old song that goes back to the 50s, I only have eyes for you. And a wife can feel that. A wife can feel that when the husband was talking to somebody, it was a good shot, but it's a little bit too much of a geschmack, you know? The eyes are lingering a little bit on somebody else. And then she begins to feel like a shmata. Then she feels like she's a maid, like she's a shifra. I work in this house, I don't feel appreciated, I don't feel loved. I don't feel that he feels who I am anymore, I feel that we've grown apart. It's terribly painful. So the Navi Yirmiyah says, you still okay, have another few minutes, like another 10 minutes, you alright? I don't know where you're holding. I don't know what it's like over here. I mean, you can leave if you have to leave. The Navi Yirmiyah says, "Panu anai erev v'loy panu." The Baruch Shalom says, "Panu anai erev." You have turned your back to me. But Torah Chassidus, the Alter Rebbe talks about this Makote Torah in Parashas Achron Mos, Ba'arichus. There he's talking about what does it mean to do tshuva. Tshuva means to return. So the Alter Rebbe says, how can you return to the Baruch Shalom? Lays us upon him tonight. There's no way to leave Hashem. Hashem is always with you. Everywhere you are, Hashem is there. So what does it mean to return to Him? So he explains that there are two kinds of relationships. There's a relationship that's called achor. This doesn't mean nikarola, but just simple. Achor b'achor means back to back. And panim b'panim means face to face. Adam and Chava were created in such a way, two parts of them back to back. And then there was the Nasir and the Shoshan, the Pat and Yev. And it became panim b'panim. The whole tachlis is panim b'panim. The Bereshit gives the third panim b'panim. The Bereshit wants us to look each other in the eyes. You go nowadays to a high school class of boys and try talking to them. Try making eye contact. I don't have my glasses on, but you're pretty good, yeah. But, you know, when you talk to guys nowadays, it's very hard to look down and look here and look there. Can't make eye contact. They're busy like this. Now they have to make eye contact. Panim l'panim. The Baruch Hashem says, Panim elai earth, v'loi panim. Shuv elai, come back to me. This husband and wife are living in the same house for 40, 50 years. And she's crying, I want you to come back to me. And he says, what do you mean come back to me? I never left. I lived with you. We lived in the same house all of the years. She says, no, you left me. You left me 6 months after the house. And that's when you left me. I want you to come back to me. Because I missed the way that it once was. Panim al panim. It's not like that anymore. You can't fool me. So the Baruch Shalom says, teach every one of us, Chasim Kala, the Baruch Shalom is a husband or a wife, a husband. The whole Shia Shem, the Baruch Shalom says, Pon Relayer, Vele Pon means, I know you put on tefillin. I know you keep mitzvahs. Just like the wife says to the husband, I know you're a good guy, you change light bulbs. You go to your work, you bring home a parnasa. You play ball with the kids a little bit, you're a nice guy. Every now and then we go out to eat somewhere. You get me a present once in a while. I know that. You're a good guy. So the Baruch Hashem says to each and every one of us, I know you're trying to keep mitzvahs. You know, you're all right. You're okay. But I want it the way that it used to be. I want it the way that it used to be. I want that kind of a davening like a little child. The Baruch Hashem, this is the whole talk. This is to come back that I've been dragging you. You have from the Bella Tech, such a statement. To daven like a little child. Such pashtus and tamimus, the whole tachlis of Yiddishkeit is to be the tongue, not to be the chacham, is pashtus and tamimus. We became club. We're busy. What hurts a wife is when she's not the center of her husband's universe. When she lives on the periphery of his universe. For a wife that's unbearable, and Kivyachal the Baruch Shalom says, I feel like a shmata. Have. You're coming on Rosh Hashanah, like it says in the Zohar Kaddish, give me this, give me this, give me that, give me this. Panasim Chakala. Hasmach Loni Yeshua Bekara. Have. Like a dog, the Zohar says. Give me. You know what we asked for Baruch Shalom, what we asked for him last year, at this time? We asked him for a lot of things, but the most important thing we asked him for was that we should live. And you know what? Everybody who's here right now, the Baruch Shalom gave us a year. There are people who are not here now, but they didn't survive. The Baruch Shalom gave us a year. For what? So have. Give me another year. Give me. The Baruch Shalom says, I feel like a shmata. But just like a wife that says, listen to me, honey, I would do anything in the world for you. I would do anything. I would die for you. But I want to feel like I'm something to you. I want to feel that I'm appreciated. I want to feel that it's me and you. I want the life of Panim al Panim. Now, for 40 years I'm crying about this. I'm talking to Jews about this thing, this sugya. You could be the biggest London in the world. You could be the biggest Talmud Chacham. And your whole life is a life of achor ba'achor. Not that you're not rewarded for every piece of Torah that you learn, but your whole Yiddishkeit is Yiddishkeit of achor ba'achor. The Baruch Shalom says, I love you. I have to ask my Hashem. I want to be with you in a way that's panim al panim. I don't want to live this way with you. A Yiddishkeit that's cold. Because the Sefer Chaim is not some big book in Shemayim. The Sefer Chaim is right here. Kasrein Sefer Chaim. Yiddishkeit with Chiyas. I spoke to the oil in Chicago 2 weeks ago at this Indian. Yiddishkeit with Chiyas. Vayichi, Vayichi. One of the heavier reminded me Vayichi saw that. I didn't even know there was one. I was like, Vayichi, Vayichi. The Chiyas. So he said to Rabbi Shalom, Kapar Lana. Rabbi Shalom. Kapar, you know what Kapar means? Kapar means when something is clean. A kol pshat b'chas ha'ava means when there is so much in love that all of the things that were not good, they're covered up and they're cleaned away. I'm saying, Rabbi Shalom, I haven't loved you the way that you love me. I haven't identified my life as being completely yours. I haven't surrendered my life to you. I do stuff for you. I do mitzvahs for it. It's achor b'achor, it's not panim on panim. So when it comes to Yom Kippur, so Yom Kippur we say, Onurai Yosef v'ata deideinu. Onurai Yosef v'ata deideinu. We want to be like that again somehow. We don't know how, Baruch Shalom, Achen Atokel Mustate. It's so hard to feel that feeling. It's so hidden from us. Higala, no. Higala, no. First, believe you a lie. You know, when the Sadler of Susiana came to America, the first Yom Kippur that he was in America, when he was here, the Sadler of came to America, he had a very small minion. You know that? It's hard to believe. My mother's cousins were there. A very small minion. That first Yontif that he was here, the whole island that were there was shared as a plate of survivors. Everyone was a survivor. And the Satmar Rebbe said, Rabbi Yishmael, we know that you're here. And we know that you were also there. But it's so hard for us. Higalena, show yourself to us. Make your love known to us. First, Chavivi Alai. It's so hard for us. To love you, you're so hidden from us. And it's so hard to go through so many difficulties in life. And it's hard to feel that you love us. We want to feel your love and we'll try to clean ourselves, kapelano. We'll try to clean everything up and honor Yisachar out of the day. So the whole tachlis of this time of the year is the Pasuk in Shir Hashem. Heviani Hamelach Hadorov. Nagilah and Nismach Rabbah. Heviani has the oasis of and ben. That's Elul. Kyoviv emails, I will need to come back home, to come back to my parents. I've forgotten. A bunch of them I've forgotten. Heviani is of ben. Hamelech is Yosh Hashanah. Hamelech is Yosh Hashanah. Heviani Melech Hadarv is the inner chamber, the private room. Is Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is Yom Chasunosu. It's at the end of Tannis, right? Yom Chasnos, Yom Simchas Liba, Yom Chasnos, the second Luchas is Yom Kippur, it's Chas. In the time of the Mishnah, it's brought down over there. Laho Yom Tarim Yisrael, Chamish Yosef Ba'av, Yom Kippur and Chamish Yosef Ba'av, that the Bnei Yisrael, the center of the Bnei Yisrael, and the girls of Yisrael, they make Shidduchim in Yom Kippur, it's a strange thing. Because Yom Kippur is the day of the Yichud. Yom Kippur is when the Kohen Gadol go past the Kruv, and the Kruv is off in the cave. Lift my eye, lift him into that place. Ato Echad V'Shimcha Echad. Echad Yachad Miuchad. Echad Yachad Miuchad. Echad Yachad Miuchad is Yom Kippur. Shema Yisrael, Shema Kena, Shema Chana, Shema Lekim, Shema Lekim, Shema Lekim. I only have eyes for you, there's no one, only you, only you, only you. That's Yom Kippur. We made all the viduyim to get rid of the stuff that got between us over the year. All kinds of stuff. All that stuff that got in the way. Heviani is over Bain. Hamelach is Elulah. Hamelach is Rosh Hashanah. Chadorv is the inner chamber of the room. That's the Chasen Kalot. That's the Cheder HaYichud. That's Yom Kippur. Magilah and Ismach HaBach is Sukkot. Shemiyatzeres is the Yichud. It's the Yichud. The highest day of the year. Simchas Torah Shemiyatzeres. Magilah and Ismach HaBach. So, Chevra, how do we begin? I'm sorry, I'm going to end now. I said that probably already. Sayeskich Mechila. How do we begin? So, let me share with you what I told my father over Shabbos. My father was this Where is the strongest mamish? Anichaim harak. It's very hard for me to watch what's going on now. So my father can't walk anymore. And it's very painful for him not to go to shul, and even with the wheelchair, he can't be in the shul now. He doesn't have the strength to say, we'll see this. So my father, and I have Shabbos, there were two aides, two wonderful aides that were trying to help my father for the first time in a few months take a couple of steps. Not on his own, they were helping him to get to the walker and to take a few steps. And my sister and myself were sitting there, Dad, you could do it, you could do it. My father says, Chakanis go hungry. Chakanis. He said, Daddy, please, you can do it. So I said to my father that years ago I was in Toronto. I had to speak in Toronto. And I stayed by Rabbi Marky Soloshan. His father-in-law was a Baron Soloveitchik. You heard of a Baron Soloveitchik? That was his shiv. Mitanach Rabbi Marcus was nifted. He wasn't old. But his shiv was a Baron Soloveitchik. The Baron Soloveitchik had a terrible stroke, I'm sure you know. It was terrible to see. I remember when he spoke in that good in Farakari, and that genius was trying to say a pill pull, and we all were there for hours, and he couldn't, and with his mouth, and it was painful to watch. And they were teaching the Baron how to walk again, because after the stroke he had to be taught how to walk. And they had physical therapists and people working with him. And during the day there were bachrim, he had different bachrim here who had the schuz to walk a little bit with the Rosh Hashiva, to walk with the Baron. They had to go very, very slowly, but to help. He was learning again to walk. So bachrim, Rabbi Marcus told me there was a bachrim that was going with his father, the Baron, and the Baron was shwissing to walk. He was working so hard. He was working so hard. And the Bacha said that he saw that the Baron was mumbling under his lips, and he thought he was davening or something. He didn't know what he was saying. And he leaned close to try to hear the Baron, and the Baron was saying this, Achas, 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 Vishtayim, Achas, Vishavos. So I said to my father, Daddy, I said this to my Rishavos, Daddy, Achas, 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 and he felt, Achas, Vishtayim, Achas v'shavosh. The Baruch Hashem doesn't expect us to jump into the mikveh. He expects us to crawl, to creep through the ghetto and lodge and to somehow make our way back home to Him, to try to squeeze through, to look for a better year, something better than it was last year. And we can do it. We can give Him that nice. There's much more I would like to say to you, but I'm not. Only to give you a bracha on yourself and all of us. We should begin to take good steps. We should begin to take those steps towards the Kaddish Baruch Hu, and to believe in Hashem Shalom like Yomar says in the Kaddish Baruch Hu, the Aruch HaShulchan says even clearly, more clearly, that if you believe in Yom Kippur, then Yom Kippur could be Mechaber. If you don't believe in Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur is not Mechaper. Even according to the Rebbe, he says the Yitzum Shem is Mechaper, you have to believe in that. You have to believe in that. The greatest gift, I just came here from a chasana. There was a chasana time. I came from a chasana. The greatest gift. It was the last talk that Rabbi Gedalia Yeshua gave in public, Zichron Levracha. He was at a Shevet Brachas, at one of his Talmidim. He could barely talk. And he said at that Shevet Brachas, he said that the Baruch Hu was Mekayim all the mitzvahs, Chazal tells us. And since it's brought down the Rambam, it's a mitzvah from the Sameach HaSul Mekayim to help them to get them started, to support them. So it must be that the Baruch Hu also gives a gift to the Chazal Mekayim. What's the gift that the Baruch Hu gives to the Chazal Mekayim? Rabbi Dali Yisrael is. Slach lo nemachal mekabi lo. He gives the Chazal Mekayim forgiveness. Only He can do that. He gives the Chasam Kalah the chance to start everything from the beginning, all over again. To start again. It's the greatest present. the greatest gift. That's the gift that's waiting for us 2 days from now. That's the gift that's waiting for us. Hashem's Baruch Hu, help me and you that we should open up that gift and we should treasure it. That we should bezeugen to head back to Yerushalayim, Achas, 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 and then each Peshach, we will throw down all of our shtetl, everything we've been told, we're just going to run into arms. The glory of God, the name 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 of God,